26. Luke 17, verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. I want to look back. I wanted to read all of this in light of our Lord talking about the end time, the time we believe that we are living in. And three words that Jesus said, and sometimes we come across it and remember it, and sometimes we don't, but we need to remember it, and it was just that. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. I want to think around that thought tonight. Remember Lot's wife. Our Lord wanted us to remember her. Specifically, I think, her life, her decisions, what happened to her, the whole of her life, I mean, that we know of. There's not a very much recorded. We know that, of course, she was married to Lot, a man of faith. And the Bible says that he's a man of faith. It calls him just Lot. And I study those words. I wanted to make sure that that didn't just mean only Lot. He delivered only Lot. No, just Lot. And that word for just is righteous. And the Bible, I mean, many preachers have said it. The life that Lot lived, some of the things that he said and did reflect poorly on the decision of a righteous man's life. I don't know of anywhere, though, that it says anything about Lot's wife being righteous. Being saved, being holy, I haven't found anything. She was just the wife of Lot, following him. So when I remember Lot's wife and what the Lord is asking out of us to do when he said to remember, he wanted us to rehearse it, to recollect or to be mindful of her situation, to rehearse her life. How could we rehearse her life with just what we have in Scripture? We have to do the best that we can with just what's there. We certainly can't insinuate a whole lot. If we do, we could make her out to be any kind of woman that we wanted her to be. But I want to be fair. But again, you know, there are other women of faith, and I mean, it acknowledges them as such. That's, I mean, somewhere that they had, you know, faith. They had an encounter with God. They prayed, you know, something. But I don't find that about Lot's wife. So let's remember Lot's wife. Jed, the Lord wants us to remember her. Now, where they were and where, we all know what happened to her. She got turned into a pillar of salt. Because the Lord told her, just like He told Lot, don't look back. When they were to leave Sodom and Gomorrah, don't look back. And we know, I think everybody here has heard the story, how she got turned salt. That place is southwest of the Dead Sea. They have these pinnacles, or what they call needles, and pillars of, I mean, just rock salt. It's a whole, you know, seaside. It's called the Ridge of Jebel Uzdom. It's known as a mountain of Sodom, and it's just rock salt. And those pillars sticking up everywhere. And of course, you know how, what salt it does, erosion over time. But they still to this day recognize one of those pillars as had used to have been Lot's wife. The people knew that, I mean, it happened. No doubt that there were people that saw in their day, Lot's wife, frozen in time, made of salt. Are you listening to me? We don't have anything other than the Scripture that tells us that that's what happened to her, and that's good enough. God said she'd be turned to salt, and she was. That's good enough for me. Think about that. Now, the Bible tells us of this recollection of her life. In 2 Peter, also we find it in Genesis. And in Genesis, it says that he overthrew that place. God overthrew. In other words, he turned over like a cake. Turned over. Well, Peter, if you read in Peter, in 2 Peter 2 and 6, here's what he says. Verse 5, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow. Same word. An overthrow. One's a Hebrew word, one's a Greek word. But they both mean the same thing. Condemn them with an overthrow. Making them an ensample or example unto those that after should live ungodly. And delivered just Lot. Righteous Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. And he was. Wow. Let me say this. We're remembering Lot's wife. If he was vexed with their filthy conversation, what do you think his weaker vessel felt? His life directly affected her. His decisions affected her. She wouldn't have wound up in Sodom had he not took her. I want to say something about a Christian example right now. It's important as a child of God that we make the right example for our family. We don't know who's lost in our family. We don't know what would become of them when we make the mistakes, huge mistakes like Lot had made here. Lot had made this terrible mistake of going down to Sodom and Gomorrah. He walked after the flesh. He saw it with his eyes. It was, the Bible said, as the garden of God. It looked like Eden. Surely that's the will of God right there. I want to tell you something. I thought about this a lot today. The times in Scripture where man followed his sight or went to do something in his own physical strength, he failed miserably. I preached about a king Sunday. The Israelites, what did they do? They said, we want a king. We want to have a king like other nations. And they picked one out. And what'd they do? They used their eyes. They picked out the biggest man that they knew of. This is surely kingly. You wait till the other people see our king. He's head and shoulders above everybody here. Our king is going to be respected, if nothing, for his size. That was the biggest mistake they could have ever made. What did God do? God looked over and picked out the smallest one. A boy. A young lad, rather. A young man. God was looking at the heart when man was looking on the outside. You see, what Lot should have done was when he looked and saw the well-watered plains of Jordan, he shouldn't have took what his insides was telling him. He should have talked to God about what direction to go in. You know, if we would seek the Lord instead of going after what we see, this is surely, it's got to be right. I mean, we got to split, me and Abraham. He's already told me, you choose, and whichever way you want to go, you take, I'll take the other way. And that looks perfect. I can't think of a better place. But it was the worst place to raise a family, to have a wife, to have daughters. You know the story. You know he lost family down there in Sodom. He lost his own testimony down there in Sodom. So Lot's wife, she didn't have leadership. First thing I want to say, listen, when we remember what Lot's wife, let's remember she had no leadership. Do you know how important spiritual leadership is in your life? Amen. To have a head. To have a head, to have spiritual leadership in your life is very important. It's one of the most important things that you and I can do. I'm not just talking to women. Men have to have spiritual leadership too. But Lot's wife, she had a head, but he really wasn't a head. was no spiritual leader. Did not lead her into one spiritual thing that I'm aware of. She had no spiritual leadership. She followed blindly. Followed blindly. She went down into Sodom. Listen, made home out of it. Made home right down there. Got comfortable in the world. Didn't she? She should have never been comfortable down there. Think about these things. And listen, the Lord, He's wanting us all, male and female, to remember Lot's wife. Not to ever get comfortable in the world. Right. We need somebody that is going to point us to the Lord. Point us into God's direction. Take us somewhere that's not like Sodom and Gomorrah. What kind of fellowship he had down there with those Sodomites, I'm telling you, it is ungodly to think about. There she was, right in the middle of all that. To me, you'd think, listen, now Lot, let's, again, do what the Lord said. Let's rehearse this. Let's recollect. Think about them coming out. Lot, his wife, and two daughters. They had more children, no doubt, that stayed down there that didn't have any confidence in his testimony. They had already went in Rome, do as the Romans. They were already full-fledged Sodomites. They had no desire of leaving Sodom and Gomorrah. It was the life. I mean, if you were going to live the big city life, right there it was. But they're on their way out. And God told them, when you leave here, don't look back. Don't look back. Those few little words, how important that is to not look back. She's going up the side of that mountain with her husband and no doubt can hear the screams, the fire coming down, the earth being turned up. I mean, quaking, shaking. There they are, headed to safety, headed to God's safety, just like God said. And she can't help herself but to look back. Why did she look back? Why did she? I've really tried to think, why would she look back? The reason anybody would look back, she loved something that was there. But not only loved something there, she loved something there more than she loved God's Word. If she'd have loved God and God's Word most, she'd have never looked back. She thought, no doubt, being disobedient just to this one little thing, I'm just looking. I mean, I'm going. I just wanted to look. that attitude of rebellion. Listen, it crawls deeper into people than you realize. And that's what it was. It was a spirit of rebellion in her. He told her not to look back. That's enough. That's enough. We don't, listen, when we get to the place we don't think that God is serious about His Word and what He means for us when He says what He does. His salvation, listen, God's salvation is real. It is powerful. It is true. It is sure. To all those who believe. If you look at her life is like taking the steps of repentance and faith to be saved. There are a lot of people that go toward salvation and come short. Why? Because they do that one thing that God told them not to do. See, her not looking back meant she is turning her back on everything. That's a repentance. That's a repentant heart. She is turning her back and her life completely around away from Sodom. That's what that's a picture of. And in the middle of going toward deliverance, she looks back. She's not repentant. Something in her is longing for that place, is hating that what's happening down there is happening now. She didn't see the destructiveness of sin. She didn't see that sodomites were going to drag her daughters out into the street and sodomize them. Who would want to look back to that? The world has nothing but destruction waiting for those who want to live in it. To wreck your life, to wreck, listen, the lives of all these out here in the world, if we could get them to turn to God and stay turned to God, yes, He'd save them. They'd see. Amen. I'm not talking about a work salvation now. I'm talking about something some things I've thought about here lately. Listen, I believe salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ is exactly that. We are saved by grace. Grace is that we are, we can't buy it. We don't deserve it. We're saved by grace through faith. Amen. And that not of ourselves. Through faith. Faith in Christ. Faith in His blood. Faith in His Word. Because He says, listen, today people want to say there's no repentance. Many preachers, no repentance. Just believe. And invite Jesus into your heart. Now, I have even said to people praying, have you asked the Lord? But I tell you what I'm not going to miss. Have you repented?
Right.
Have you turned from your sin to Christ?
Yep.
Have you confessed your sin to Him? You don't have to confess it to me.
Right.
But you got to confess it to Him.
Yep.
And it may not be that you have to remember each and every one that you have ever committed. No, it's just saying, I am a sinner.
Right.
Yep.
Amen.
In need of a Savior.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish.
Amen.
You can't do away with that. You can't do away with that. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, in our Lord Jesus Christ. There are people that will cut and snip at this book right here until they take practically everything out. Listen, there's a message here in the whole. And you can see it from Old Testament to New. It's that God is creator. Man is the created, fallen, sinned against his God, turned away. And God is bringing him back to himself through his Son.
Amen.
Old and New Testament. The sacrifice of one. The sacrifice of blood. Innocent blood for the guilty. For those that would come and not turn back. Over and over in the Old Testament, he warned them about turning back, turning away. That's even mentioned in the New Testament. And it's not that we have to do these something to keep our salvation. It's very well seen as the fruit of our salvation. You'll continue if you're truly saved. If you're really saved, you'll be walking with us a month from now. Amen. You'll have your eyes in the direction of God. Your faith, your repentance and your faith put you on a straight and narrow way toward God.
Amen.
To our Lord Jesus Christ. But he or she turned. Remember Lot's wife. Her, along with the rest of them, were condemned with an overthrow. Whew. I had a lot I wanted to say about the things that she should have had in Lot that she didn't, as to why she wound up the way she did. You know, did he not have her helping her up the mountain? Were they, you know, 10, 12 feet apart, just making their own way up? Did he leave her to walk by herself? Or to walk with the girls? Lot was so messed up.
Yeah.
I know every time me and my wife have been on hard terrain, you know what I do? I grab her by the arm, put my arm around her. I'm trying to help her through that hard spot. That's what a husband does. That's what a leader does.
Amen.
Not just, you're on your own. Hope you don't slip. I mean, but that's the way an uncaring husband would be. Or one that's just not thinking about her need, not thinking about her need. Those that are lost, somebody has to think about their spiritual need. And that's us, the church. That's the saved dad or the saved wife for their family. We have to think about the need of those that are lost because they're not going to get up there themselves. We have to direct them. We have to stay with them. Have to stay with them until they are delivered. Now, once it was over, listen, the Bible doesn't say that they couldn't ever look back. They just couldn't look back while the judgment's falling. I'm sure I could only imagine all manner of people have come down there to look at that place after it was just devastated. See, it's too late. It's too late. After the judgment comes, it's too late. It's too late to be saved after Jesus comes. Right now is the time he's saying, don't look back. Come to me. Don't look back. But the carnality, again, the carnality of what was her spiritual leader was a hurt to her life. It was a hurt to her life. That pains me. That worries me. She needed an example. She didn't need to be made the example. She needed an example. Of those that would live godly, not after those that would live ungodly. He was vexed with the filthy conversation. She needed spiritual conversation. But that's what she had. She had filthy conversation. That's what Lot's wife was accustomed to daily. Filthy conversation. I mean, the life of someone that is daily plagued with filthy conversation, do you think they're going to have much of a spiritual life at all? Listen, we can't help what those around us do. Men are the stronger vessel. They have been made that way. God puts us out there to work. We work hard by the sweat of our face around other rough men sometimes. But He's given us something that we can handle that. That we can pray through that and press through that, and that our wife and our children are not having to be right there listening to all of that. Amen. Keep them away from the filthy conversation. From the temptation. He said in 2 Peter 2, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. And he gives a list. And this is the kind of people that they were around in Sodom and Gomorrah. The people that God said they were like natural brute beasts. I mean, they said, give us some angels. Angels had to smite them with blindness. I'm talking wicked. And Lot's wife was, why didn't Lot get her out of there? That's what my mind, I'm thinking. He's sitting in the gate with the men.
Right.
She's at home. Maybe he thinks, got her locked up at home. You know, she's not having to, you know, I'm out here doing my thing, being vexed. And he was enjoying it. You know he was. He wasn't even praying. He had no idea the judgment of God was coming. Had no idea. He had no idea that the angels were coming to destroy that place. Abraham did. Why? Because Abraham was a friend of God. And God said, we're not going to hide that thing from Abraham. Well, if Lot had been a friend of God, if Lot's wife just had somebody that was a friend of God, and the only way she got where she did was because of Abraham. She actually was on her way out. There are many that, and it hurts me. You see them, you think they're on their way out, but they just don't make it out. How many have we all known? How many of you known that was on their way out, but they didn't make it out? You say, how do you know, preacher? Because they turned to salt. He didn't have no life. Didn't live for Christ. Had no life beyond where they were. They were made, she was made a memory of what Sodom was. That's what she is. Lot's wife forever has been a memory of what Sodom was. When Jesus said, remember Lot's wife, we don't go, woo-hoo. We drop our heads. We're saddened. We begin to question. Begin to hurt, thinking of all that happened to that family. What happened to Lot's wife? Do you know her name? Do you know her name? We're constantly referred to her as Lot's wife. Lot's wife. Everybody knows her as Lot's wife. And that's because her life was so affected by his life. You have to, I'm going to say this. We need to all of us be careful who we let into our life. Who we let influence our life. Who we let lead our life. Those things are important. Because I'll tell you why. it does influence us. Many preachers, this brother tonight said he was, raised in a Presbyterian church, five-point Calvinist. I've known many Baptist preachers start reading after those five-point Calvinists, and before long, they was a five-point Calvinist. You know why? They let somebody lead their life. Somebody teach their life. Somebody be a spiritual head in their life. They begin to take the advice of that one. You and I have to be careful who we let in our life. Jesus, the Lord said this. In the New Testament, through the apostles in the New Testament church, he said, lay hands suddenly upon no man. Don't put your hands on just anybody. Don't let just anybody put their hands on you. It can hurt you. It can hurt you. It can hurt you. It can lead you in the wrong direction. Down by the Dead Sea. That's where her life ended. Think about that. Right next to a place where there is no life. None. Zero. Nothing lives. She had a chance to have life, to get out of there. Her life ended in a dead place. In a dead place. I think when the Lord said, remember Lot's wife, He wanted us to do more than just read those three words. It's good to stop and recollect and think, what could have been? What should have been, what really was. There's no fairy tale. That's no fairy tale. This is not, some princess who's waiting for a prince to come by and give her a magical kiss and she's going to come to... No, this is not no fairy tale. She is in eternity. She is in eternity. God have mercy. I want you to stand. I'm done. I appreciate y'all being here. I know it was a little slower than normal, but I believe the Lord wanted me to talk about that this evening. Listen, in these last days, you and I need to be climbing the hill and don't look back. The Lord's coming. And when He comes, judgment's coming. Upon this earth. Upon the ungodly. And the Lord wants us that are saved, listen, to be living that life of faith. Looking for Him. Looking for that blessed hope. Amen. Living for God. We don't have to... Our heart don't have to be cold.
Right.
Our faith doesn't have to be nearly gone. Amen. We're going to take up an offering in a minute, but let's bow our head for a word of prayer, okay? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. And thank you, God, for your precious word. Dear Lord of heaven, I thank you for this hour. I thank you for these people. Lord, your people, I pray that you'd bless them, each and every one. Help us, oh God, to always look into thy word and God, to accept your word just as it's put down for us. Lord, these many examples you have given us, Father, to challenge us and to charge us and to help us. Help us, Lord, to always see the right way. Help us, Lord Jesus, God, to be looking to you and looking for you. And Lord, I pray you'd fill us, everyone, with your Holy Spirit. Help us not to be dry as salt. Lord God, I pray, in these last days, Lord, help us to be filled, Lord, with the Spirit of life. And God, we'll thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Brother Adam, would you come? Brother Ronnie, would you come? And everything you give tonight goes to missions. So, Brother Adam, would you ask to bless?